Avodah Zarah, Perek Dalet, Mishnah Zayin, 4-7. This is the last on the topic of the prohibition of getting benefit from idols, and just idols in general. After this, we're going to transition to the topic of Yayin Nesach, idolatrous wine. In any case, so here we wrap up with like kind of like a philosophical point. It says, Shalu es hazekenim baromi. They, these are some philosophers in Rome, asked the zekenim, our Jewish elders, the Talmud Chacham in Rome. The Rambam is quick to point out here that we're talking about philosophers that are not of the Aristotelian school. Aristotle and his school, and his, you know, Aristotle's a long time before this, but those who are Aristotelians, those philosophers did not really believe in idols anymore. Those Greek philosophers, and the Roman, you know, descendants, but there were certainly, I'll call them philosophers, like Stoics, that did believe still that there was like this panoply of gods in the Avodah Zarah. So it must be one of those kind of philosophical groups. They asked the Jewish rabbis, Talmid Chacham, the Zakenim, that were available to them in Rome, the basic question, Im ein ritzono b'avodah zarah, if Hashem really is all-powerful and he really doesn't want idols, lama enu mavatla, why doesn't he get rid of them himself? Amr lehen, so the Zakenim answered back to the Gentile philosophers, ilu ledavar she'ein sorachl olam bo, haya ovdin, if the things that the idolaters worshipped were not things that were necessary for the world, that Hashem put in the world for a purpose, yeah, Hashem would get rid of them. Harein ovdin lachama v'levana v'lekochavim v'lemazalos. But the idolaters are worshipping the sun and the moon and the stars and the constellations, and those serve a purpose. Hashem created the sun for a reason, and therefore to get rid of the sun is no good for anybody. And Hashem says, I'm not going to get rid of the sun. I wanted it around for the benefit of humanity. Ya'abed olamo mepnei hashotem. Should I destroy my world? Hashem saying rhetorically, that the Zakenim was saying. Hashem says, why would I destroy my world? Because of these, you know, foolish idolaters. So, by the way, the Maharal understands here there's a separate point being made. He learns this in Derech Chaim, which is his parish on Perkei Avos and Perek Gimel, Mishnah Tezavav. He says that this latter part is talking about Hashem's not going to destroy the idolaters for their foolishness. And the idea there, which I think is something that's much more relevant to us here in the 21st century, is that Hashem, if Hashem would sort of like shoot a lightning bolt not to strike down the idols, but the idolaters, so then they would sort of lose, humanity would lose its bechira to choose to be loyal to Hashem, because if there's an obvious punishment, immediate punishment for not doing so, people just won't be able to choose it. So they lose their bechira. And Hashem's agenda here in creating, you know, all of humanity was people should be able to make meaningful decisions, so therefore leaves the option open to them. That's important, and I'll say why I think that's important at the end of the Mishnah. So back to this, Amru Lahen, so the Gentile philosophers, they said back to the Jewish Zakenim, the elders, Im Kain, if that's true, ya'abed davar she'ein sorach lo'olam bo, v'yinich davar she'tzorcha olam bo. So if that's true what you're saying, so then why doesn't God, your God, the God of Israel, strike down all the idolatrous things that isn't necessary for the world? Like, for example, you know, an Asherah tree. The world can get along just fine without the Asherah trees. So why doesn't, if Hashem doesn't want Asherah trees, let him use lightning bolts to strike down the Asherah trees. And the same, you know, I don't know, little statues and figurines and that kind of stuff which is worshipped, he can get rid of those. And then he'll leave the sun and the moon, etc. Amru lehen, so the Zakenim said back to the philosophers, Af anu machzik nidei ha'ovdehem shel elu. That would be the worst case scenario. That would actually give a reinforcement and arguments for the idolaters to justify their service of things like the sun and the moon. She'omrim teidu shehen elohos. You could see that these, the sun and the moon, these kind of things, are actually divinities, they would say. Sheharei hein lo batalu. Because those the lightning bolts were striking down the Asherahs and the statues, they didn't strike down the moon and the sun. So you see that the sun and the moon are impervious, that they have a force and a power all to themselves. So therefore Hashem leaves everything as it is. He lets people make their own mistakes, and people have bechira to choose to identify the truth in Hashem or not. And that's the end of the Mishnah. I'll just add that, emphasize the Maharal's point. It seems to me that the Mishnah ends on this topic. As I said before, this is the end of the topic of idols, because it's such an obvious question that sort of would bother anybody. So the Mishnah sort of almost does something very uncharacteristic and discusses philosophy in the Mishnah, not very common. And the reason why is because everyone's going to be bothered by this question. And although I think in the 21st century, we're not so bothered about idols because they're not really present in our lives. The basic question of, like, why does God allow for anything evil to be here? You know, where was God in the Holocaust and the like? So that's a question that pervades, you know, is a legitimate question which people want to know the answer to. You can't help but want to know the answer. And the Maharal's explanation here is certainly apropos to that very question in whatever version I have in the 21st century, which is, listen, if people didn't have the choice to do wrong, evil, then because they were struck down on the spot, so then there would be no option for Bechira, and therefore people couldn't earn, you know, their relationship with Hashem and so on. And therefore, it suits Hashem just fine to let people have Bechira and make the decisions they need to make and enjoy the rewards and suffer the consequences of not living up to the truth.